The Ain't No Fang Podcast. From Arizona Sports, Ain't No Fang.
About a year ago, I would have told you that I was super excited about the direction of this team. Now, it's pretty hard to find anything that's going right for the Diamondbacks. I'm Steve Zinsmeister, that's Derek Montilla, and Cody Fincher with us as well. So guys, let's chat about all the things that are going wrong in the world.
Well,
right,
I'm 100% sure you started off last week's episode with that exact same statement, unless I'm just having It might have been comparable. Things are not good, Steve. To repeat what I've said in the past, things are not good. And they go from not good to being worse and worse. At the very least, the first game of the season showed a little bit of promise, right? We had this kind of battle with the Padres' best lineup, and we saw the Diamondbacks hang in there. The rest of the series didn't go so great. They did get a win, got another win in Colorado, but then got promptly thumped by the Rockies, where they weren't even in the other two games, really.
Yeah, currently in last place, although I won't say that the standings matter all that much in the first week of the season. But one thing that did happen recently that is definitely not good is Ketel Marte going down with an injury. Bear, what was it like for you when you saw him hobbling through first base while running through the bag?
I watched it, and I just went, ugh. Oh, no.
No.
And I saw him hold his hamstring, and I just, it was this team is just not built for someone like Ketel Marte to hurt himself and to be out for a period of time if they want to stay competitive, because he's obviously their best player. He had been off to a ridiculous start, just hitting the ball all over the place. And I just, it was a deflating feeling when I saw him grab his hamstring, because you never know with hamstrings how long it's going to take to heal or whatnot, or what the degree of the strain is. But I mean, he's on the 10-day IL, so we'll see if he comes back in 10 days. That'd be nice. But I mean, geez, it's just like, this team is already, you know, gone through so many injuries already, and we're not even a week into the season, or I guess we are a week into the season now, but
It goes back to spring training, right? I mean, it even goes back to the players that we've lost, the players that we've seen not having good outings during spring, and that kind of transcending over to them being on the injured list. We have Nick Ahmed, you know, Joaquin Soria, who had a terrible spring, but, you know, now kind of explains it if he wasn't feeling right. The loss of Marte, though, you're absolutely right. It's devastating. The one thing that the Diamondbacks have proven already, which we already knew without needing it to be actually proven to us, was how little depth they had. You know, we talked during the offseason about their lack of depth in the outfield and what they were really going to do to fill that need. We didn't really see them make any moves to do anything, right? So they basically said we were going to stay in house with the players we have, and that's how we were going to proceed. Now we get down to this point, and it's kind of like what we talked about with some of the lineups we've seen. They do not have the same versatility, because the guys that they're plugging in to play, you know, the fill the roles while guys are out with an injury, are the versatile guys that would normally play all over the place and give Lavolo any kind of depth on this team. It's literally like dominoes, right? Once one starts falling, it seems like it really exposes, by knocking them all down, how shallow the depth is on this team. This is not a good baseball team already as it stands. And the biggest problem is that the best players on this team, or at least the perceived best players, are now either injured or are not performing at the level that they should be based on, you know, who they are, like what we've seen out of Bumgarner this season.
Well, and at this point, you have Marte, 10-day. You've got Gallen, who we expect to be back relatively soon. It could have been much worse for having a hairline fracture in his arm.
Well, and what we saw as far as the diagnosis and what symptoms he was experiencing, right?
He's been throwing while recovering. I think he threw an 80-pitch simulated game this week, so it appears he's a lot closer than I thought he would be. Cole Calhoun, we're still waiting to find out when he comes back. Hopefully soon. Nick Ahmed has been out since the beginning of the season. So I guess if there's one silver lining in any of this, Bear, is it the fact that none of these injuries are long term?
Yeah, but And when you add, but think about when Nick Ahmed and Cole Calhoun do come back, and whenever Ketel Marte does come back, and does it really make this team that much better? I find it hard to believe. And honestly, put Cole Calhoun, Nick Ahmed, and Ketel Marte back in that lineup, and Zach Gallen back in the rotation, and minus Robbie Ray, this is pretty much the same exact team that last year we all had high hopes for, minus a few pieces, obviously, that were traded away last year. Archie Bradley, Starling Marte, Robbie Ray, like I said. But overall, this is a very similar team to the one in 2020 that we thought was going to make a push for one of those expanded playoff spots in 2020, and they just fell flat on their face. So, and then, like I said, they're missing pieces from that team that were good, like Archie and Starling Marte and everything. But like, it's just, I find it hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
See, okay.
Even when these guys come back.
I think with what Bear's saying too, right? I agree with what you're saying, but it's hard to say that it's the same team without those guys and without Starling Marte, because Starling Marte was kind of the first piece to cause this team to fall apart in a way. You can say what you will about Robbie Ray and Archie Bradley and the other guys that we lost last season. Many of them were not performing again to the level that we expected them to. The difference is once Starling Marte left, that did not get replaced. Then that results in Ketel Marte moving out to outfield. Say what you will about it, because there's no way to quantify if that move could be the reason for this injury, or the additional, you know, just the additional running and such that you have in center field versus playing second base, right? And I'm not trying to make any wild leaps there that that's the reason why he's injured. But again, injury was one of the main reasons why we didn't want Ketel playing center field, especially at Chase Field with, you know, the turf out there, right?
Yeah.
So
now, we don't know that he got injured this time because he was playing center field.
That's what I'm saying.
Because he
did
it while running the bases.
Right. Yeah. No,
but it could have been tweaked before, I guess.
That,
I don't know.
That's kind of what I'm throwing out there with absolutely no basis for what I'm saying. But I'm just saying.
That's what we do here on the podcast.
Yeah, it's absolutely that. I mean, he could have, you know, he could do something, some similar injury, jumping and trying to grab a ball that's, you know, at second base, right? So it's none of it you can say is actually the reason why. But it definitely puts more wear and tear on the body playing center field, I think, than second, and I think it's not his natural position. So there's just a lot to be said that once they didn't replace their center fielder with another center fielder, that's where this team started to like crack and fall apart, because the athleticism of guys on this team allowed Lavolo just to move pieces around. And now, again, they haven't gone back and replaced a lot of those, you know, fill in those holes. Asdrubal Cabrera has kind of been a bit of a godsend, but then that makes Escobar play second, and Escobar has not been doing well at second. We haven't seen any, you know, any great play out of him out there. Defensively, this team has been not good at times, not what we're used to, right? Like, even with this team not having the same big names and maybe same offense as other teams in the division, the one thing that they could always count on was they had a stellar defense, especially on the infield. That was when guys were all playing their natural position. Now everybody's just shifted around due to need and not really having a better option, because they're trying to go with the best available, at least it seems, offensive player for each position.
And going back to what you just said about Eduardo Escobar playing second, I know he hit a home run yesterday, but man, he has not looked good at all so far to start this year. And even going back to 2020, of course, but even like you were talking about the defense, there was that one play, I think in the first game of the Colorado series, I can't remember, but Walker was settling underneath a foul pop-up, and then Eduardo Escobar comes into the last second, says something, Christian Walker pulls up, and the ball drops foul. Luckily for them, it dropped foul. And then in another game, I think it was yesterday's game, he's playing third base in a shift, and he gets a ball hit right at him, and he, you know, he fumbles it around, and they could have gotten a double play, and they didn't get anybody out. It's just like it seems like he's forgotten how to play baseball. It's crazy. It's weird to me.
It's just weird, but at the same time, too, it's easy for us to say that because, you think that positions are the same playing on the diamond. I get what you're saying because they seem like easy plays and stuff that you would get at third base, but it's just different. You know, it's different. It's the angle you're coming at, where you're playing, where you're out on the field, what you're expecting, you know, your outfield to do and back you up and all of that kind of stuff, right? You talked about, though, Cattell going down and just being a big part of this offense. Let's talk about how big of a part of this offense he was. Hitting .462 with an on-base percentage of .500. .500, Steve. Every other time he was up at the plate, he was getting on base.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. .846 slugging percentage.
Pretty good.
5 RBI, 2 home run, 12 hits.
What was his OPS?
His OPS is 1.346.
That makes him one of the best players in baseball so far.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I think his 12 hits leads the league prior to him leaving.
Who's the second best hitter on the team now, statistically?
As Drubal Cabrera.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's so interesting.
Oh, that's actually right? I didn't even know
that.
It's
gotta be.
That's it.
It's gotta be. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
What's interesting, and we've kind of addressed this, but when we started the season, when we started spring training, you know, I had said several times on the podcast that, hey, don't be surprised if we see Escobar play second base every now and then. I had no idea.
Every day.
I had no idea that we were.
To us.
I had no idea that we were going to see Cabrera this much. I mean,
he's hitting .263 with a .417 on base percentage.
That's pretty good. None of us could have foreseen that Nick Ahmed would miss this much time so far. Mm-hmm. So that obviously affects things because then Rojas slides in at short most of the time. I love Perdomo. He hasn't done a lot yet, but
and it's sad because
he's one of my favorite prospects in the
Rojas
system.
Is really struggling, so it doesn't help that he...
But he had a great spring,
He had such a great spring, so it doesn't help that he's been giving this many opportunities and hasn't really done much with it.
And I don't think shortstop is his position.
No, but still, this is
He can hold his own, but he's not thriving at short.
He hit Christian Walker in the eye with a baseball.
He hit Christian Walker.
No, he didn't directly. I mean,
and he still was better than Fernando Tatis in that series.
Here's the thing.
Defensively.
Do you want to know what his batting average is, or do we not want
Josh Rojas?
Yeah, Josh Rojas.
It's got to be in the
100s. I know that he's like 2 for 23.
100s?
Is it in the 100s?
No, it's not, Steve.
It's below.
It's below.
No.
He's hitting .087.
That's some Alex Avila numbers right there. But you know what? Like, with Rojas, I just wanted to see him get an opportunity. And we're only a week into the season, so it's not like his opportunity is run dry.
Sure.
But I wanted to see him at second base and see if he could get comfortable and possibly earn that position in a full-time capacity. And because of their usage of Cabrera, which I don't disagree with, I think he's a great hitter.
Right.
But not sure about the fielding.
He has to go to third.
Yeah.
And Escobar has to move over to second.
And Rojas has kind of been thrust into this shortstop position that he's not... he's okay. He's not good.
It shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that this team is as bad as it is. You know, like, you could say what you want about the Rockies and how the Rockies should be last in the division, or they were picked to be last, but the Rockies haven't experienced the same level of injuries that the Diamondbacks have already this season, especially to starters, right? We're looking at now nearly half of the starting lineup is injured and out.
Especially key defensive pieces. You talked about not being able to play defense right now. Nick Ahmed is out. He's the best defender on this team. David Peralta won a gold glove, but I don't think any of us ever thought he deserved it. And that's no offense to David Peralta, but I never thought he was the best defensive left fielder in baseball or in the National League. Calhoun is a great defender, by the way.
Right. Do you think Peralta's was more of the story of him transitioning to be such a good outfielder from a pitcher?
No, not really.
Do you just think it was recognized by people for...
I don't know how he won it, to be honest
with
you.
Yeah.
Remember, he won it when he didn't even play the whole year.
Right.
He missed a good chunk of time and still won it. I'm a little baffled by that, but
I think he had hot streaks that really were memorable, and that was the thing. I remember him, you know, and he's a big personality. So.
He's got a decent arm for an outfielder. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's just a lack of options in left field, and I'm not recognizing that across the sport.
Very well could be.
But I don't know.
Usually left field is where you stick your big bats that can't play defense anyway,
a fat
right?
guy. It's where you stick a fat guy.
This is a little league for me all over again.
Yeah, I know.
They moved me from catcher to left field. Do you know what that feels like when you're a fat kid?
That's
on
denigrating right there.
God.
Especially when you're young.
Yeah.
Especially taking that slow walk out there.
They might as well have just put me in the front row of the stands.
No, at least you weren't in right field when you're really young and you get put in right field, because nobody's left-handed, yeah. So nobody hits it to right field.
Nobody hits it to left field.
Nobody hits it in the outfield.
Nobody at that age is batting left-handed.
So at least you weren't in right
just
field.
Had those ones that sneak past the infield that you had to go get.
If you want to know, if you just want to know the lack of depth on this team, Cole Calhoun is out. And look who's been playing right field most of the time. A first baseman named Paven Smith has been playing right field most of these games.
It's weird.
And how's he hitting, though?
He's got a couple. Let me see. He's got a decent amount of hits here. Let's see what's going on. He's hitting .235.
All right.
He's got 4 hits and 17 at-bats.
Okay.
Definitely not the worst.
And 1 RBI.
It's about 3 times the batting average that Rojas has currently.
Yeah.
OPS of .588.
I haven't been disappointed with Paven Smith. I think I was mostly
defensively. I have been. But
I was mostly
the first baseman.
Right. I was disappointed that he has to play right field. I think that's the disappointing part. Because he shouldn't play over Christian Walker. I really don't think that should happen.
No. Yeah, I agree with that.
Christian Walker is one of the most stable parts of this team right now, which is it's not a diss on Walker. It's just, come on, we don't have much else going for us.
But it's the truth.
Can I turn the attention to pitching real quick?
Sure.
So this
you
week,
have to?
Unfortunately,
you
I
need
do.
To.
Something very odd that came out this week, and we've all been waiting for Zach Gallen's return, and he is really their only solid starting pitcher. Caleb Smith, it was announced that Caleb Smith will be moving from the rotation to the bullpen, and then they didn't announce anybody coming up that I'm aware of or anybody moving into the starting rotation other than Gallen might be back soon. So I imagine he'll probably take that place. But after one start, we're moving Caleb Smith out of the rotation. What do you think about that move, Bear?
I was surprised by it a lot because I know he was pretty bad in the start against the Padres, and he was bad all spring training, but this is the anti Torey Lovello move here, or the opposite of what I think he would have done, because Torey Lovello is notorious for sticking with his guys, you know, and you know, the phrase loyal to a fault is used a lot with Torey Lovello. So seeing Caleb Smith move to the bullpen after one regular season start I was shocked by it. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe Torey's not messing around this year. But I mean, I know you can't move Madison Bumgarner to the bullpen, and he's probably been just as bad, but Caleb Smith, I was very surprised. And you know, now there's speculation that that might be to free up a spot for Zach Gallen, but they used the off day, I think, to move their rotation up. So now Taylor Widener is starting today in the home opener. So now I believe they have a spot open for tomorrow's game. So who knows who starts that game? It's probably going to be like Taylor Clark or somebody, but yeah, I was very surprised that Lovello made that decision this quickly.
Caleb Smith has only had 4 starts with the Diamondbacks. 1 this year, 3 last year. His ERA was under 2.5 last year in those 3 starts, so not bad. I wouldn't say that he was bad last year. It was only 11 innings, though. Is 4 starts enough, Derek, for you to get a gauge? I mean, do you think Mike Hazen and the front office have gotten a gauge on what Caleb Smith is? Because he was a part of that deal last year with the Marlins.
It's interesting because I don't know if it's that they know what he is or that they're giving up on him. I just think that with the way that they have the alternate site and everything set up, there's a lot of things that they can do to continue to get someone, you know, some reps and coaching and all of that they would need to try to get back on track while still not having that person necessarily be a detriment to the team and starting every 5 games, right? I'm not saying that he's not going to turn it around, but I feel like they're getting a little desperate now at this point. They have a lot of unproven arms that they can give an opportunity to. And in some cases, they've really seen these unproven players step up, like we saw Rojas last year, like we saw Alex Smith in the past. Alex Young. But there's just really a lack of options. You know, I think that the making the move to free up the spot for Zach Gallen seems a little likely, especially with him throwing an 80-pitch sim game. That's a full game.
That's,
you know,
significant. Yeah, that's right. Not a bullpen session.
And he was throwing his curveballs too.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That was a big step.
I don't know what's going on with his recovery, because you and I have both said it seems very weird for them to be taking a microfracture kind of this lightly in a way, but it's based on doctors, you know, prognosis and what they think and how it's healed. Like, maybe it's a thing where they just felt like he needed to take a little bit of time off to rest it, but for the most part, it's not going to, you know, it's not going to be any kind of major issue that could cause problems going forward later. Who knows, though? I wouldn't risk doing anything right now with Zach Gallen based on the performance of this team. I don't really think that they invested strongly in this team being a contender or being a very good team in the first place during this offseason.
No.
So I don't see a reason to rush back your biggest potential star's, you know, comeback unless he is healthy and ready to pitch again. I would see it happening soon, though. Just like with all these guys, I'm interested to see what this team is like with their actual players back. We might not know that for some time, though.
Two of their biggest assets that they acquired in the offseason were bullpen pieces. Tyler Clippard, Joaquin Soria, both injured.
Both injured.
So at this point, the bullpen is pretty devastated. Now, Stefan Crichton, they turned to him as kind of the pseudo-closer at the end of last season. He pitched very, very well in about 20 or so innings last season. But they gave save opportunities this past week to Chris Devensky. He got two opportunities at the back end of games and did okay, I guess. But all of a sudden, what was it, last night or the night before, Chris Devensky gets put on the restricted list.
Correct.
But it's not COVID-related, so we're left to wonder what the heck is going on. So what is happening at the back of the bullpen, Derek?
I have no idea. I have no idea, and I don't really know what's going on with the whole restricted list thing versus the COVID list thing, because, for instance, Marte got placed on the 10-day injured list, and they recalled Andrew Young from the taxi squad. And I was
also not an outfielder, by the way.
Also not an outfielder.
He'll probably end up playing outfield, but he's not an outfielder.
Technically listed as an infielder / outfielder.
Uh-huh, sure.
They might as well throw catcher and pitcher on it,
yeah,
too,
why
right?
not? Like, yeah.
Baseball player.
Manager.
Yeah.
GM.
But I was under the impression that the taxi squad was a COVID-related, like, taxi squad. Like, I thought it was like in a case of an emergency kind of deal.
Well, whatever's going on with Devensky's got to be some sort of emergency. Like, they called it personal reasons.
They did call it personal
which,
reasons.
Which, I mean, is usually the cop-out for, you know, like, it's something that you guys don't need to know about.
Which is true.
And yeah, no, it's fair.
They're I mean, and Lavolo a lot of times is very honest about that. Like, he was like that with Nick when Nick kind of went out during spring again. And he said it wasn't injury related, but it was like a personal issue. But then Nick ended up having more issues with his knee. So I don't know if they were just trying to get him further treatment or further assessment on his knee, or if it really was just a personal issue.
I don't know.
I think it's okay for us to just mind our damn business sometimes about stuff, which is fine, right? It's another thing, though, for it to be like a move that they're hiding because they're really trying to maneuver some guys around and this other thing. Like, a lot of the moves made due to injuries, I mean, I'm not going to say they don't make sense, because it's a team trying to do their best to put together, you know, a successful lineup. But yeah, a lot of things that has been going on have not made a lot of
sense. I think it was just super weird, too, because Chris Devensky was signed to a minor league deal just before, if not during, spring training, and they hadn't made a lot of moves. And we all kind of looked at Chris Devensky as like, he probably could have earned a major league deal. Like, I wouldn't have been shocked if they gave a major league deal to Chris Devensky for, like, you know, a million or two or whatever. But then he ends up making the team, and then he ends up getting save opportunities. I was just so confused as to, like, and then all of a sudden he's gone.
Right.
And you're right. We don't need to know
necessarily
what's going on in his life or whatever. If it was an injury, we would like to know, preferably. But yeah, I it was just so bizarre, because this bullpen is a disaster, Bear, and I don't know what to do with it.
Matt Peacock is all right.
I don't know.
I like Matt Peacock.
Matt Peacock is pretty cool. Yeah, that was a cool story. But I'm totally with you guys. I don't know. I'm looking at their pitching staff right now.
Anthony Swarzak is back. Yeah. That makes me happy.
Captain Dad.
He makes me feel good about myself.
Because you're like both old.
You know, I don't like the way you phrase that.
I figured you wouldn't. That's why I said it.
That's not the way I would have approached
it. Probably older than Anthony Swarzak is.
Don't really need to answer that.
Swarzak's 36.
Obviously, yeah, and you guys know what celebrated as far as a birthday.
You're definitely older than 36.
35 and 211 days old.
It doesn't matter. He makes me feel good about myself. He makes me feel like I can do anything with my life.
Yeah. It's just like,
I know he's been a professional athlete for most of his life, but that's neither here nor there.
The Diamondbacks signed three or four guys to minor league deals, like bullpen guys, and I didn't think any of them were going to make the team out of spring.
And they're all on the team.
Not all of them.
Well, the only one that really made the team was Devenski.
Right. And now Swarzak gets moved
in. Swarzak got called up, but yeah, I mean, like,
who's left? Heller? Wasn't Heller one of the guys?
Ryan Buchter.
Ryan Buchter.
Buchter, yeah. When do they call back JB Bukauskas? When does that call happen?
Probably next week.
How much time do we need for his service time to go another
year? Isn't it like 2 weeks or something like that?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Yeah, give it a week and a half, and we'll probably see JB Bukauskas back.
Yeah.
And he'll probably be the closer.
He might be,
day
probably
one.
Be the closer.
He might make the starting rotation at this point. Who knows?
He killed it in spring.
Yeah.
He was fantastic.
Corbin Martin's another name that I wouldn't be surprised to see soon.
Yeah. Well, it depends on when they need a start, because right now,
tomorrow.
I think we're all... right. But like you said, Taylor Clark is the most likely name, right?
I think so, yeah.
I thought he was going to be the most likely Taylor to come up, and then Widener...
And then Widener shows up. And dominated.
And did really good, yeah. So I can't say that they were wrong, but Clark was having a good spring, and he was the only one of those guys that they were stretching out as a starter during that time. So, I wouldn't be surprised to see him fill the role that they need as far as a starting pitcher goes. It's frustrating. It's confusing. I can only imagine what it's like to run this team right now, you know?
Yeah.
And I say that from the perspective of Torey Lovullo and not necessarily management. Like, front office kind of knew what they were doing to a degree, and they knew that they weren't really reloading the guns on this team for this season. But Lovullo's the one that has to now not only go out there and try to make this team any kind of, you know, contender, any kind of team that can actually – you know, compete with other major league teams, but he also kind of has his job dangling on the line, considering that they still haven't extended him with his contract situation. So it's rough, and I don't want to see this team completely tank and then have that affect, you know, their view of him as a manager, because he has been given very little to work with as far as this lineup and this team goes.
It's almost unfair to judge Torey Lovullo by, you know, a team record or whatever it is, or where they finish in the standings, whatnot. You can judge him on decisions that are completely under his control, like, you know, whether or not to challenge something, or lineup changes, or making a pitching change at a certain time or whatever.
Like, but in the middle of the World Series, right? Like, is that what you're talking
about? Like,
about?
Someone named Kevin Cash,
sure,
who is terrible.
Uh-huh.
But it's just like, it's kind of just unfair to judge him for what this team is and how this roster is built. And it sounded to me, Ken Kendrick, the owner of the D-backs, was on Burns and Gambo earlier this week, and he said he predicts that Torey Lovullo will be back next year. So it sounds like they're kind of just content with not being very good this year. Obviously, they didn't make any moves to really bolster their roster this offseason, and they're just going to try again next year. And I think Lovullo will be back at least for one more year. Cause I just think it's so hard to judge his managerial performance with this roster that they've given him.
You know, what's funny is, like, on Twitter, I'm quick to defend Torey Lovullo when people are like, oh, you know, 10 more losses and, you know, like, I'm ready to fire Torey Lovullo, or like, how many more losses will it take for them to realize they need to can Lovullo? And I'm quick to defend him. Like, come on, you can't judge him right now on this, what they've got going on. But then also, when I hear Ken Kendrick say he'll be back in 2022, I'm like, it is way too early to say that.
Yeah.
So I don't know where I'm at with Torey Lovullo. I guess I'm just like, let's see what happens. Because what happens if they lose 100 games this season? Somebody's got to get fired.
But Steve, if you were managing a baseball team and I gave you a golden retriever as your first baseman, right?
I will take that.
I mean, it's going to be entertaining as hell. I'm not saying
it's not. Does he get on base?
He has a high on. He gets hit a lot.
Is it Air Bud?
It's not Air Bud. It's his cousin.
Damn it.
But he...
his cousin, if, Bud Light.
If, Bud Light.
Bud Light, yeah.
If I... I'm just saying, if I give you, you know, that at first base and like a 5-year-old at second, they can't expect you to succeed.
Are you right? Saying that? Are you comparing Christian Walker to a golden
I'm
retriever?
I'm not comparing anybody on the current team.
And this Eduardo is a Escobar,
totally made up metaphor.
Okay,
I could do the little big league thing and say if I right. gave you a 10-year-old as the manager of a team, you know, there's things there that you can't blame, you know, the manager for, right? Like you can't blame the manager. In this scenario for being 10. No, you can't blame the manager for having a lack of, you know, talent available to him. And I just think it's not a matter of firing him this year. It's a matter of extending him beyond next year. I think he'll be back, but I think that the performance of this team is going to weigh on his resume. I think right. that the performance of this team last year and this year is going to be considered more of his fault. I can't say, you know, sometimes if it's worth firing the manager over a team not being built to compete. Maybe the fresh direction you feel like is something new and it's something that's going to change attitude. Maybe you feel like that manager has just grown too complacent with mediocrity and the team hovering around 500 every year, so you need somebody new there. I don't know. I feel mm-hmm. like Torey Lovullo is still the right guy for the job. I still like feel like he's an amazing manager. I feel like it's going to be one of those bad breakups where you end the relationship and then you go on to see that other person very happy in their relationship with someone else. Meanwhile, you're eating Haagen-Dazs in your underwear in your apartment and you're just suffering the fate that you decided for yourself. I'm not pointing right at Steve like he's
he
done
is,
this.
He is, though. He is pointing at me.
But I'm saying you go out there and then you get to see that person married and happy with a new team. And I think that would be the case with Lovullo. I think you haven't given him a team, but I think Lovullo is still a very good manager. And I think if another franchise hired him as their manager and gave him a competitive team, I think he would do a great job at managing that team to success. I really
well,
feel
look at
like
2017,
right?
I had mean, a competitive that, team that year.
Well, and they've stayed competitive throughout. I think that there are some things you could judge about him, like we've talked about in the past, the lineup changes, his use of cliches, whatever you want to say. But he's an amazing person. He's an amazing human being, and I think he's a very, very good manager. I just don't think he's been given, at times, enough to compete with this division, let alone the rest of baseball.
And it sucks to admit it, but this goes for pretty much any sport. But in baseball, if you lose 100 games... easiest person to fire is the manager.
Sure. Absolutely.
You keep the direction of the organization by keeping Mike Hazen. You know, obviously the people above Mike Hazen remain the same. And the easiest way to make it look like you're holding your organization accountable is to get rid of the manager and find somebody new.
Would you say that Bumgarner is the biggest blemish on the current regime's?
What do you think, Bear?
Resume?
It's up there for me. I would say not. I'm including pretty much every move that I could think of, even trades. Madison Bumgarner so far would probably be number one on the fail list, if we're going to call it that, of the current regime. Number two for me would be the Paul Goldschmidt trade. It just has not worked out. Luke Weaver has been very disappointing. Carson Kelly has shown flashes. He's having actually a pretty good start to this season, but he's still not playing every day. And I think the belief was when they traded Paul Goldschmidt to the Cardinals for Luke Weaver and Carson Kelly that you were getting a potential front of the rotation type of pitcher in Weaver, and you were getting an everyday catcher at some point in Carson Kelly. And Andrew or Andy Young, whatever he's called now,
was
kind of just the throw in. But I mean, that one is looking worse and worse every time Luke Weaver takes the mound and every time Carson Kelly isn't taking that next step. But yeah, so far it's kind of, I hope Madison Bumgarner can right the ship. I still think he can be a decent pitcher, but so far, I'm already looking at how long he's got left on his contract, you know, and how much money he's got left. And I don't want to be in that place mentally, but I kind of am.
The one name I keep thinking about, even after he comes back from injury, is how long is Nick Ahmed going to be a Diamondback? He's one of...
That's one, too.
Without looking, I would say Nick Ahmed is one of the longest tenured players on this team in Arizona. That's
probably right about that.
Yeah. With him and probably Peralta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I mean, Cattell's more recent. Escobar's more recent. Christian Walker was in the organization but was in the minors.
It's got to be Ahmed because he was acquired in the Justin Upton trade.
Yep.
Right.
He's definitely been here the longest.
So I keep thinking about Ahmed, and even at his best and at his healthiest, I mean, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago I think is when he finally came on as a hitter.
Yeah.
He's never been a top 15 shortstop for me. I don't think he's that. He's always been a top 5 defensive shortstop until last season, quite frankly.
That's what they were looking at.
Go ahead.
What do we always say about Nick Ahmed? Like, if he can hit 250, we'll be happy with it, you know?
Yeah.
And what's just the puzzling part about Nick Ahmed is it's not even about him individually. It's the decision to sign him to a 4-year extension. Granted, it was only for what, $32 million, and he's really good defensively, but you got all of these shortstops this offseason that are going to be potentially going to be free agents. Not saying they would definitely get one of those guys, even if Nick Ahmed was not on the roster, but man, like to lock yourself into Nick Ahmed for 4 years, you know, is just kind of a strange move to me. But I mean, I guess he's not making so much where you can't get off his contract or whatever. But.
Yeah, it's not, and that's not the problem. I think the problem, or not the problem, but I think the reason why they're high on Nick is he's continued to improve every year. You look at his numbers, he was hitting 200 at one point when they first acquired him in 2014. And, you know, last year was his best hitting season at 266. You said you'd be happy with him hitting over 250. He's done that the last two seasons consecutively. And he's, you know, he raised his batting average and improved almost every category every season. I think that's the thing that baseball teams are looking for, is that improvement in a player, a player's ability to continue to get better. And Nick Ahmed is just a good enough defensive player that if you are, you know, if you're looking at his numbers offensively, they're adequate enough to say, yes, I'll have him in the lineup. And they've never hit Nick very high. He's always been in the bottom half of the lineup. Mm-hmm. He's never been somebody that they've relied on for his offense. You know, they've mostly relied on him for that defense. And in some cases, they do that. I think they've done that at catcher for a few years now. They're just looking for a guy that can merely call a good game behind the plate and work well with their pitching staff. After that, you know, please just try to hit above 186, you know, and that seems to be all that they're asking for. There's just not a lot that they want out of certain positions because it's hard to find, you know, these guys. It's hard to find certain, you know, players. I think the thing with Nick Ahmed, like what Steve is saying, is you stick with that. So you don't ever really improve at shortstop or even look for a new shortstop because you have your shortstop as far as you're concerned. And it's not to say that Nick Ahmed's numbers in either category are good enough to put off bringing in a better player than him or whatever the case may be. I think that Nick Ahmed is a perfect metaphor in a way for this team, just kind of being happy with that certain level of mediocrity right there in the middle where it's good enough but not good enough to make you, you know, a champion. And I don't see this team really trying to do that, to make this team even close to a contender this season. It sucks because today's the day, the home opener, you know, it's the home opener today. And it feels kind of crummy to like have this bad of an attitude on the day of the
home
opener.
Yeah, are any of us even excited? I mean, like, we're excited that they're home and that they're playing here again.
I love baseball and I can't wait to see it and be back. I can't wait for fans to be there. The piped in crowd noise last year was, it's haunting.
Yeah.
I still wake up in the middle of the night with cold sweat thinking of it.
I'm so glad we now know Derek's deepest, darkest fears.
Oh, it's terrible.
I would say this about Ahmed, though, if I can wrap up on my thought on like the possibility of moving him, of trading him. Like, when you trade a player, there's four things that I think about when you trade a player. There's money. How much are they making? Is it, like Bear said, can you move off of it reasonably and get something for him? You think about their abilities, whether it's hitting defensively. Obviously, he's a great defender. I would think he could play second base or third if a team needed him as a backup. You think about attitude. I mean, Nick Ahmed had a bit of a rift with the team last year when they traded everybody, and he was very vocal. I'm not okay with this. We want to win every day. This is a winning team, and you gave up on us. And now here we are. We get to spring training, and all of a sudden there's questions about, is he playing? Is he not playing? Is he here? Is he not here? And then we get to the regular season, and he's definitely not. And we've seen it cause these huge shifts in the lineup, so that plays a factor. And then the last thing you look at is, do you have someone to replace him? And it appears, I know he's just been called up temporarily, but it appears that Perdomo might be almost ready to take over that spot. So the stars are aligning for trading Nick Ahmed.
Was he wrong, though, to be mad?
No.
I mean, we were just talking about the Starling Marte trade being the thing that seemed completely unnecessary of all those things that
they did. He's not wrong, but it doesn't matter because these things happen in sports.
It's true.
Where the player gets mad about something that the team did, or vice versa. The organization could be disappointed in something that the player did, and then you just grow apart, and especially when you're a player that's been here, how many years are we talking with Nick Ahmed? At least like six?
Seven, 2014.
Yeah, so when you're talking about the longest tenured player on your team, and you start to grow apart a little bit, then he becomes a candidate for, you know what, that's a change of scenery guy. Mm-hmm. We send him to Milwaukee just shipped out their shortstop, right, to Atlanta. They have a replacement. But let's just say they realize, oh, this kid is not ready. And somehow they're winning. They might need a shortstop. You go and get Nick Ahmed to play every other day. Or another team that's competitive. I don't know. I'm just making this up. But let's say the Yankees are really good. And then all of a sudden, you know, Gio Urshela goes down or something. There, Nick Ahmed gets traded. So I could see him being a piece that gets moved because all the stars are aligning.
Well, and they've also moved on from those guys that they had that attachment to based on a sentimental value. You know, that's what
they eventually cut Jake Lamb.
They eventually got rid of Robbie Ray. They
traded Archie.
Get rid of Archie, right? Yeah. So it's like these are players that are hard to move on from. None of them as hard as Goldschmidt. And going back to what Bear said about that trade, he was absolutely right because Goldschmidt went on to hit above 300 again once he got settled in St. Louis, and he did so last season, and he's doing so this season. I think he's got a little bit of back soreness. I think the big thing with that trade, though, was once again he was going to leave, and they weren't going to pay him that money, and that's the again, like what you were saying, that's the business. You got to try to get something for somebody, and Christian Walker at least stepped into the role of Goldschmidt good enough to not make us upset about him going that next season. You know, they had those comparable numbers, and you could kind of settle down and see that maybe Goldschmidt wasn't worth all of that money. And rarely are players worth all of that money, but if there was a player that deserved it, it was Paul. You know, he did so much for this franchise and got paid so little during his time here that he's somebody that definitely deserved to be compensated by the franchise and stick around for, you know, those next 5 years.
Yeah, so. It sucks. I hate to even like be talking about the possibility of trading a guy. We're a week into the season. Nick hasn't even played a game yet this season for the Diamondbacks, so I don't want to make it out to be trying to get rid of him.
Do you want to talk about the team moving or something while we're at it? Like, no, do you want to just get super depressing?
Yeah, I'm a real downer, I guess. No, I just just feels that way to me. I don't know why. It just feels like maybe there's like this hole that he left, but also like maybe it is kind of a sign of what's to come. I don't know.
I don't have that same sense of hopelessness that we did a few seasons ago. My thought is I think they made some mistakes thinking this team could be more competitive than it was going to be when they reached out and did the Bumgarner, you know, signing, for instance, and some of the players that they picked up. I felt like last season they realized that, and that's why a lot of those trades happened. That's especially why the Starling Marte trade happened. But and I'm very realistic that they're not going to get anybody to pick up the Bumgarner contract at this point with how much he has left on it for the remaining years.
And the way he's pitching.
Right. So that's just going to be that. He's going to be there. It's probably going to be a constant throughout his time here about how overrated he was and how overpaid he was. But that's where we're at this point. There's no need to make any further mistakes where your battle plan still seems to be about the future and the young talent that you have in the minors. The minors are all screwed up, and I just want everything with the minor leagues to get back to normal so we can get these players progressed, playing games against opponents and having real, you know, situational baseball where they're getting ready for the major leagues. It's not happening at these alternate sites the same way that it needs to happen to have them be ready.
We don't have the time to do it right now, but something I want to do next week is kind of run through the division and see where we're at. Right now, it's a little too early to tell, but like the Dodgers are playing the way we thought the Dodgers would. I do want to talk about the Padres next week because we played them early on and Tatis was horrible defensively and then gets injured by swinging too hard and separates his shoulder, which is a really interesting injury because he could be out for a really long time or he could be out for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And it's one of those injuries where he could end up doing serious damage to his future. And they just paid him $340 million or whatever it was. So I do want to get into that next week. We don't really have time for that now. But then also, the Rockies. I mean, the Rockies demolished the D-backs in a couple of those games. So something that we might look at is the division next week. But for now, we thank you so much for tuning in to the Ain't No Fang podcast and checking us out this week. I'm Steve Zinsmeister with Derek Montilla and Cody Fincher as well. It is the Ain't No Fang podcast here at ArizonaSports.com and on the Arizona Sports app.